Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, and for the occasion of Al-Quds Day, we ask the question, what is the Islamic perspective of the land of Palestine?
65 years into its Israeli occupation, the Palestinian cause remains at the forefront of all Muslims fighting against Western imperialism and injustice. The calls for a free Palestine have increased, with a rise in awareness, activities and events across the world, highlighting the oppressive Israeli regime which has murdered, orphaned and displaced millions of indigenous Palestinians. The boycott, divest and sanctions movement has forced Palestine into mainstream headlines by successfully engaging international figures such as Stephen Hawking and encouraging them to boycott Israel on all levels, including academic, social and arts. As Palestine continues to win over millions of hearts, the question on its importance in Islam still remains. This week's Islam and Life asks, what is the Islamic perspective of the land of Palestine?
We have been talking about the Middle East a lot these last years, about what is happening in many countries, what happened in Tunisia, what happened in Egypt. And it's as if while we were talking about all this unstable situation, uprisings, revolutions, spring, we forgot one country. We forgot the Palestinians and their legitimate resistance. And it's as if this is the forgotten people in the whole process in the Middle East. While for more than half a century, almost the beginning of the 20th century, the resistance to the colonialist project, the Zionist project in the region, is there, was there, and still remain a central issue in the region. And there is this Al-Quds Day, which is important, reminding not only the Muslims, but all the people who are on the side of the oppressed, that there is one issue that we need to solve. It's not only an Islamic perspective, it's not only an Islamic concern, it's something which has to do with human rights and the human dignity and the freedom of one population that is oppressed. But there is also something which is connected to the Islamic principles, connected to the Islamic tradition, connected to the Islamic history. And we need to get a right understanding of what is and what could be the Islamic perspective on this resistance and this legitimate resistance to oppression. These are questions that are important because very often we listen to people making it only a religious issue and others making it a political issues. What is exactly at stake there? In which way the Muslims should react? In which way they should be involved? And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest lecturer in Islamic studies, Amir De Martino. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me start with this first question, because it's true that over the last few years we have been talking a lot about other countries and less about the legitimate resistance of the Palestinians against the Zionist occupation and what is happening there. Now, from an Islamic perspective, why and how do we look at it as a conflict which is central in the region?
Well, from an Islamic perspective, of course, there is an historical Islamic perspective, which is to do with a strong religious symbolism, which is Al-Quds, the center of Palestine, is the first Qibla, the first place where the Muslim began to pray under the leadership of Prophet Muhammad, and after that was shifted to Mecca. And so the symbolism, the importance of this event and other events in the history of Islam from this Muslim perspective is settled. The Quran mentions it, and so there is a connection between Islam and the world of Quds and Palestine. And so an Islamist never made a huge claim of taking it over and removing everybody from there. There's never Islam recognizes that it's a place equally important to other faiths, Judaism and Christianity. And so throughout the history, when Islam has held the position of caretaker of those lands, it has always allowed other faith and other sort of denomination to practice the faith. And in fact, Palestine remained throughout the history, even when Islam took over, a place of pilgrimage for Christians. Albeit small incidents during the Seljuk time where there was some restriction, but apart from that, Muslims have always managed it very nicely and allowed other faith to be part of this land.
So what would you, before we come to this, because yes. I think the point that you are raising here is very important, is how the Muslims, when they were ruling there, when they were in charge, the way they were respecting all the other traditions. Before that, what would you respond to people saying, yes, okay, it was the first Qibla, it was the first direction, and so what? Why do the Muslims, or should the Muslims, care so much about Jerusalem, about Al-Quds? Why is it so important for them in religious terms first, just to get this? Because very often the people here, even, you know, I'm talking with Europeans and parliamentarians at the European level, say, we don't understand. It's as if you are as obsessed with the land as the Jewish communities. How would you respond to that?
Well, the land of Palestine, in terms of ethnicity, remains strongly a strong connection with the Arabs. And the fact that an Islam moves out of Arabia, encounters this first population of Arabs living around Syria and things, the connection, the transition from Arab to Islam is almost a natural process. Hmm. They accept it very, and so culturally also it becomes part of the land of Islam in very early, you know, when Islam bursts out of Arabia, takes over those areas quite easily because they have much in common, those populations. They are not Byzantines, although they are satellites of the Byzantines. The Arab tribes are ethnically the same as these early Muslims. And so it's assimilated within the milieu of the Islamic faith. And so it remains. But of course, you know, the Islam doesn't claim, as I said earlier, that this should be a holy place only for Muslims. But this is
so let me come to this point, because you are raising an important point, which is, you know, we had the Jewish qualification of the Israeli state as the some Jewish trends. And even the government is saying this is the very essence of our state, the Zionist project, connecting a religious belonging or affiliation to a political one.
Yes.
From an Islamic perspective, if we look at the history, if we look at the tradition, the way Muslims were dealing with Al-Quds was quite different from that. What were the specificities of the Islamic, the Muslim, that you said something which is acknowledging the presence of the Jews, acknowledging the presence of the Christians, and in which way? What does it mean to acknowledge the presence?
Well, the acknowledge is, first of all, ensure that the other places of worship are maintained and respected with equal reverence. Of course, you know, the Nativity Church, which is the place where one of the most important prophets of Islam for us, as Jesus, is as equally important as it is, well, not the same as Christianity, but certainly has a fundamental role to play within our faith. And so the places of worship are kept, were kept throughout, soon after the Islamic army sort of entered the area. And it has remained like that. There's never been an instance, as I said, there are small period in history, like the time of the Turks, the Seljuk, where reports of certain restriction to the pilgrims were put, but this was far in between. And overall, our, you know, the history of the maintenance of those holy places in the hands of Muslims has always been very, very, very sort of positive.
Positive, tolerant, respectful, and open.
Aware that this is a land of great importance to the Christians, and because Islam sees itself as the last revelation and incorporates all the other, we have no problem in respecting places where other prophets have walked upon, and so it is part of our faith. Naturally, we are in much stronger position to assimilate and accept previous revelation than the other one, who are more exclusive and they stop. And so
if we look at the conflict now and the way the Palestinians are oppressed, and there is an ongoing colonization with the settlements, with people, you know, civilians being armed on the side of the Israeli and the colonizers, and on the other side people trying to resist. If we look at it from a religious, an Islamic viewpoint, what would be a religious Islamic solution to this conflict.
Ultimately, and throughout the history, even when Palestine was occupied for a brief period of 200 years by the Crusaders, we never saw a mass movement of Islamic army moving across the Muslim Empire to go and free Palestine. It remained actually a local issue, so much that in the history of book, it's also treated as a period of annoyance for the Muslims, rather than because it was brief. Although the memory, it's quite hard. The massacre that the Crusaders sort of perpetrated in that area shocked the psyche, but it remained a local issue. And at the end of that, it was a local people who were able to get rid of the Crusaders. Saladin was in a sense was from the area, and so in that respect. It's something that has never evolved too much, but now we are talking about the 20th century, a conflict, taking over a land, and the dimension of it, you know, the creation of the State of Israel, the imposition of, in a modern context, of taking over a land where people are effectively living there before. They were living before.
Yeah, yes.